welcome one and all once again to Dual Wielding episode 38. I think Chad had some funny story with the number 38, but he honestly has been paying half attention to us, so if he disappears for like half the podcast, just chalk it up to the usual.
Don't worry, I'm wearing a bloody sock to commemorate the event.
I'm assuming I'm missing the reference here, but
You remember? Well, of course, you're a Yankees fan, and you probably purged it from your mind. You remember when Curt Schilling crushed the Yankees to win the championship?
No.
And he had an ankle injury, and his sock was all bloody, and they were like, "You're such a warrior because you play for the Red Sox, and you're awesome."
Okay, well, we just lost any of our audience members starting off by talking sports, especially Boston sports. But
I'm saying that
we just lost the other half by insulting them, to think that they wouldn't be interested in sports. So well done.
I'm just gonna sit here and pretend I know what you're talking about.
Basically, all you have to know is that my team is vastly superior to his. And
how many championships does your team have?
More than yours in the last decade.
Do they? How many do they have?
I don't like where this conversation's. Video games.
Reminds me of that episode of Fresh Prince where Will Smith is in sort of the living room of the mansion, going, "Where are the video games? Where are the video games?"
It's exactly like that, actually.
But yeah, and I mean, there was that whole little dry period you folks had going on. But I guess you don't want to talk about that either. No? Okay. So, since Chad shut up now, and you probably figured it out, Chad and Dern are joining us this week. Or Daniel, I should say. what have you folks been playing this past week? Anybody?
I have been playing Star Wars Battlefront 2. Because
how
I bought it in the Steam sale, and it is amazing. And I love it so much.
See, I kept my head down during the entire Steam sale. I'm like, I won't look at it, so I won't get tempted by anything.
But it hasn't been that great, if I'm honest. Most of the games that have been like crazy cheap are games I already have. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think the sale hasn't been any worse than previous ones. It's just that I've bought everything I want to buy in the ones they've had before, so it's kind of just rehash of stuff I already have.
Yeah, I've spent more on other people than I have myself, actually.
I didn't get anything from you.
Well, I don't love you, Paul. Simple as that.
That said, it is the last day of the Steam sale, and Portal's on sale for $25, and if you haven't bought Portal 2, then do that.
Because you're incredibly stupid. Oh, Duna Forever's on sale, Chad. Oh, no, it was on sale the other day.
I think it is again, actually, if I'm not mistaken. It's like $25, and I considered it for half a second, and then I read our flyers and saw that Shadows of the Damned was only $40. So I was like, value proposition there.
Shadows of the Damned is more expensive than Duke Nukem Forever. I'm going to buy Shadows of the Damned.
Yeah, but I'm saying for $15 more, you're getting something that's playable.
I'll give you that.
So did you end up getting Shadows of the Damned?
Not yet. You have to understand that the nearest game store to me is like an hour away. So I kind of have to be already headed to the city to do something. I'm going to get up at some time this week while the deal's still on, but
that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, I sometimes forget, you know, growing up in an awesome city like I do, how, you know, backwards the rest of you people can be.
Hey, just because we don't have a McDonald's on every corner.
I don't have a McDonald's on every corner either. I only have 3 McDonald's within walking distance.
Only 3.
I just now found myself wondering what it would be like to live in a world where your car alarm goes off at 3 o'clock in the morning every day. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You got me there. But at least I don't have to travel an hour outside the city to get my video games.
That's implying that anybody goes to a store to buy video games anymore.
Well, I mean, there are times when video game stores do have good sales. I mean,
really? Because we don't have that in this country, believe it or not.
Oh, well, it sucks to be you. I was about to say, the other thing, though, is that Amazon tends to usually match it. So there's that. When I bought Alien Noir, I got it at Kmart because it was basically $20 for first day, because you got a $20 gift card, which I ended up not, I forgot about it and it expired on me, and a free game, which is Mirror's Edge, which I have yet to play. So technically I paid $60 for it.
Someone out there's going to chastise you for that, but you know that.
For what, not playing Mirror's Edge?
I haven't played Mirror's Edge yet.
I've seen Mirror's Edge. For Mirror's Edge.
It's still not as good as free. But yeah, what have you been playing, Chad?
Nothing anyone is interested in hearing anything about.
So more StarCraft.
Pretty much.
I mean, have you been putting anything else in between StarCraft sessions?
I have not played a single video game not called StarCraft.
He's been
StarCraft
eating.
In the past
He's
week.
Been eating, and that's all Chad has needed to do between StarCraft sessions is eat and sleep. Pretty much. He has actually done any of those things.
I played the Uncharted 3 beta long enough to decide that I still don't like competitive shooting people games.
Competitive. So what type of, I mean, other than StarCraft, what type of competitive online games do you enjoy?
I don't.
Fair enough.
I am pretty much like RPGs and StarCraft.
So what about, well, I guess we're going to say Borderlands, but that's not competitive.
Yeah, no, Borderlands was good, actually.
But it's not competitive. It's co-op.
Not competitive, so... I guess you initiate duels, which usually was never fair because most people were never on the same level.
I just stomp everyone as a level 69.
It's also really fun when you have friends going for achievements and then you jump in and screw it up at the last second.
Yeah.
Nice. But I've been playing more of the Uncharted 3 beta, and it's kind of gotten to the point where most online competitive games get, and that's when the douches come in and start ruining it with all of these cheap tactics and maneuvers that break the game and makes it no fun for anybody else. I mean, part of it, you know, it's a beta, so part of it is kind of understandable, and I hope it gets fixed. But, like, one of the things that you see now is a lot of people run around with the Uzi, and they just blind fire. And basically they just blind fire and you can't shoot them because they're running around in circles and stuff, and if you aim and stuff, it's hard to hit them, and they'll just hit you, and that's usually an instant kill.
Okay, so that sounds fun again. I am intrigued.
But it's a really bad strategy. Because, I mean, I guess it's a strategy technically speaking, but it's really just like shooting behind you and hope it, and then hitting somebody because the other person can't aim at you. And it's a broken mechanic because the pistol shouldn't be that overpowered.
I tell you this, though, you definitely would not like Team Fortress 2. Because
anymore.
Team Fortress 2 nowadays is built around those sort of things. I saw, like, because of the item system and the way some of the items work. There's a melee weapon for the soldier that is more powerful when you are rocket jumping. And you get a rocket launcher, which is solely for rocket jumping, and you get these boots that you can put on, which make it so you can cause damage to people if you land on them. So you combine those three together, so you rocket jump at somebody, you land on them and hit them at the same time, and you pretty much get an instant kill. The game is so fun because of it. Those sorts of things.
Yeah, I can understand if it's kind of built in, but it's so cheap and everybody earns. I got so frustrated with Halo Reach. Now that everybody seems to know how to melee the sword, because you can't hit anybody anymore. Everybody knows how to block it the first two or three times. Or if you hit somebody, and you know you have that weird rebound effect now, some people kind of know how to close the gap.
I'll give you a tip there. When you rebound off someone, start pressing B instead of pulling the trigger. Or the melee button, whatever the melee button is, and then that's how you do it.
See, I just don't have to... I remember a long time ago, and I used to play Halo 2 with my friends, and like finding out like there was... I forget the name of the maps now, but there was like one giant circular map, and it just had like a bunch of rooms on the offshoot. And there was like some glitch in it where you could... You can rocket up to the top of the level with no problem. And like, in order to do this, you have to walk around in a circle three times and jump on a specific point and something like that. And like, who discovers this stuff? But I am going to have to take a 10-minute recess.
All right.
Sorry about that little intermission, but we're back. And Jason has joined us.
Hello, so, hello.
You can tell us what you've been playing recently.
Let's see. I downloaded Call of Duty 4 this week just to install the recently released Galactic Warfare mod. And after solving problem after problem after problem, I hate PC gaming now, by the way, finally got to work, and it's amazing. And LucasArts needs to hire this mod team immediately and make this a full-fledged game.
I'm going to have to stop you there, because that means that LucasArts would make a good game for once in a while, that we can't have that.
Wouldn't that also mean they'd have to make the game on the Call of Duty engine?
Well, also...
That's not that much of a problem.
Well, I meant that... Well, actually, I think the Call of Duty engine needs... Isn't it, like... Have they really modified it since Modern Warfare?
Yeah.
They've made improvements. It's pretty much the same engine. But, I mean, look, they can either license it from Activision or build a new engine similar. I mean, either way, what these guys have done, and all they are is a mod crew, and they've taken Star Wars and put it in everything. Like, they have maps, they have weapons, they have everything.
If they were to make this game, it would mean it'd either be a sequel to Republic Commando or a sequel to Battlefront 2, and neither has happened, so...
And I think, well, people want sequels to both of those, so...
I want sequels to both of them. I love those games.
I haven't played either, so I can't really say, but...
How have you not played Battlefront 2? It was one of the best games of last generation.
Because I didn't have a last generation console that could play it.
Jason!
I thought you were going to say you didn't have a last generation console.
I was a GameCube man last generation.
Well, me too.
So was I.
I'd slap all three of you if you only had GameCubes.
Well, it was a different situation for me, because, like, I had a GameCube, my roommate had an Xbox.
Oh, that's fine.
I was just stupid.
I mean, it was like middle school, high school for me, so, like, I didn't really have much expendable income.
Hey, I was 13 and
I was an athlete, so I didn't have a job.
It was the box that you played on, so that was the box that I bought. That was pretty much my thought process.
Yeah, it played Smash, which is why I wanted it most. And then from there, I mean, all the other Nintendo games. Basically, well, the only things I played on that system, really, because everything else was shit.
You mean like the
I was about to say, it had a ton of great games. And
Time Splitters 2, but...
I was also going to resent that other comment, because we actually have an article up on the website that shows that between the three consoles, the exclusive lineup for them are all pretty much equal in terms of content and quality. But, again, that's tracking what I wrote on the site, so check
that out. PS3 doesn't sell quality. PS3 doesn't sell quality. I hate you, Earl. You're a Microsoft fanboy shit stain.
That was a fun experiment.
I'm going to report you on N4G.
That was a fun little experiment. And I mean, I guess you could probably add into the news since we haven't.
We've got enough Sony bashing to do this week anyway. Well, I'm saying this week, for this entire generation.
But yeah, Daniel's referring to the fact that, as I said, we have an article on the website that just kind of looks at, and apparently it's going to be expanded, somebody's doing the top 50 exclusives on all three consoles, and it basically, I was just bored one night and decided to look at the top, I just randomly went through Metacritic and found the top 30 exclusive games this generation, and of them, it actually was an even split 10-10-10 among the three consoles. So I figured I'd look at that, both critically and commercially. And after writing the article, I realized it's just a bunch of numbers, and nobody's just going to read a bunch of numbers because it's, you know, there's nothing exciting about them to most people. So I took the conclusion of the article, or a part of the article, changed it into a title that says PS3 doesn't sell quality, because of the three consoles, even if you're a high-quality game, you have a much less likely chance to succeed on the PS3 than you do on the Wii or the 360. I think the ratio...
I bet
Yeah, the ratio is like 2.5 to 1 and 3.5 to 1. So I did that, and I put it up Thursday night, I believe, and everybody at N4G went... I got nothing but reports about how this is lame and old and flame bait.
But Nerds on the Rock doesn't produce any good quality. No.
It produces no
quality. I know. I help host a podcast sometimes on this. It's terrible.
And then 12 hours later, Daniel posts the same article with a different title, and nobody has an issue with it. So there you go. Now it's the official title is the one I was doing firsthand, was The State of Exclusives, and that's the title it ran with when he posted it, and it got approved in no time, and nobody had, well, I mean, people still have issues because at the end of the day, you want to defend your console of choice, and, you know, the PS3, for whatever you want to say about it, really does a terrible job of selling games in general. And
that's Black Ops.
Well, I was about to say, like, it sells mostly platform games, and even then, it sells at such a lower rate than the 360 does, that I think, like, Black Ops, I think the Call of Duties are the three best-selling games on the system. I think the first exclusive title on the best-selling list for the PS3 is Gran Turismo 5, and I think, because I did this separately, if you want to do top 20 best-selling exclusives of this generation, Gran Turismo would come in at number 18. Or something like that. So, you know, being that's the first title on the PS3, it shows you how well the system is for selling software. But this isn't a PS3. Like, you know what? We're not even going to deny that, because the next thing we're going to talk about is the PSN Pass. And I just want to say, screw Sony. I have a huge issue with Project 10 Knives, as I've said before. And I think it's one thing when a third party does it. I think it's a completely different thing when the host party, the platform holder, does it.
The worst thing is PSN is free. But PSN is free. It's free, though, but it's not now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's between PSN Plus and PSN Plus. They are doing everything short of charging for PSN, actually, just to have that bullet point to say that PSN is still free.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're getting to the point where Sony's realizing that, you know, there's a reason why Microsoft is charging for Xbox Live and now they're trying to play catch up where their PSN's putting them, like, giving them a lot of red, and they need a way to make up for that. But they kind of back themselves into a corner because since they've emphasized this so much, they can't just go ahead and charge for PSN across the board. They have to try to be more creative with these kind of approaches, and I mean,
well, I think
it's just confusing,
they're
really.
Charging for it, though.
Huh?
I think this is their best opportunity to start charging PSN. They could just spin it, hey, we had a pretty big security, we need to improve that, and in order to do that, we charge a little bit. So they did.
You see, like, I think, I would actually think that
they could spin it in a way such that it's for our own that they're doing this. I mean, did they put it in the situation?
Yeah, you are breaking up badly.
Faith breaking up badly.
That doesn't even, but I was going to say, I would think that this is the, okay, one, this is the complete opposite time you want to do something like this. Is you don't want to charge somebody for a service that was just hacked for a month and a half.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, we noticed, you know, I'm sure you don't trust us, but just pay us a bit more and, you know, you'll get the same quality service you got before. And the other thing is they're not charging for the service, which is, you know, that's what was hacked. It wasn't like PSN per game was down. It's the charging per game. So it's like Resistance 3. Paying $10 for Resistance 3, I don't see how that technically helps.
Okay, well, let's back up a bit. Because you're not paying $10 for Resistance 3.
Okay.
You're not.
Well,
you
okay.
Play on Resistance 3 online for free unless you buy it used, in which case the people that made the game don't get a penny of that money.
How about
you
this,
still
Jason?
You can still play it offline as much as you want, and I don't know how PSN is doing it, but if they copy EA, you get a week free trial to decide if you want to pay the extra $10 to keep playing, and the developer more than deserves $10 out of a $60 game.
Jason,
the way they do.
But what happens if the PlayStation Network is up but the store isn't?
I was going to make that point, which is what happened with Mortal Kombat and Portal 2 during the whole PSN thing, is that you had that whole thing where you couldn't activate online because the PSN store was down an additional 2 weeks after PSN came back up.
First of all, that is a freak scenario
It's actually not real.
It is.
It is. It's never going to happen again.
You don't expect your network to get hacked for a month.
I'm not talking about your network. I'm talking about PSN store itself goes down more often than the network does.
But the code entering stuff that you do doesn't go through PSN store. That goes through a separate thing, doesn't it?
No, it goes through PSN store.
But okay. Okay.
Yeah, you have to redeem your code in the PSN store.
Okay, PSN store, it'll go down a couple hours at a time for maintenance. It's not a big deal. You can wait an hour to play your game if you bought it used anyway. Now, if you do have a freak scenario, again, where the hacking takes down the entire store for a month, then that's on the developer. Build it into your game where you can just remove that restriction the way that NetherRealm did.
But what if they don't? Grid didn't remove theirs. Codemasters, that is. They didn't remove the pass requirement for Grid while the PSN store was down.
What does it matter? You couldn't play anyway if the network was down.
But the network was up at that point in time, and people could play the game online, but they couldn't redeem their online passes, so they could... So they had to just wait.
I mean, you can't. That's a horrible argument to me. That has nothing to do with Project $10 itself. That has to do with Sony being horrible at keeping their network secure. It's a completely separate issue, and it's an unfortunate side effect. But you can't You can't use that as ammunition to say this whole idea is stupid.
The other thing that's coming up, and I mean, I haven't seen proof either way, so I don't know. Maybe you know more than I do. Is that I have not seen that Project $10 has helped increase new game sales for any game that has it.
Is that the type of thing that would be public knowledge, though?
Well, you can see it if a game, Homefront wouldn't be an example, or I guess Mass Effect would be, what other games have used it? I know THQ had Effect, SmackDown.
We don't have any data on that, so we can't say.
Well, what I was going to say,
the important thing is not what it does for new game sales necessarily, although,
Yes, it is, but it doesn't.
It's not. It's not about the new games.
It's about the used game sales.
It's about used game sales and making money from people that play your game for nothing to the developers.
I don't think they expect it to sell more new games. Want to get a piece of all the used games that are being sold.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
The new games will get a boost, but it's negligible. Where it's important is in the used game market.
And I think that's still a double-edged sword because you're going to end up with stores like GameStop not buying as many used games from people because people don't, you know, it doesn't have that market value for them anymore because people don't want to buy used because you have to pay $10 to access.
All it's going to do is drive down the value of used games because...
It's going to drive down the value of any game because what's going to happen is people are going to wait for price collapses on new games until it hits 20.
People already do that.
And I'm saying that's a terrible habit. It's been a terrible habit this whole generation. That's why all these game sales are front-loaded. But my point is, I don't see how Project $10
structure of the industry.
Yeah, and I think that's something they need to work on before they work on nickel and diamond people for used game sales.
I think if
you give people reason to buy your game new, if you give people reason to buy your game day one, that's something
That's what they do with all the pre-order incentives and all of that stuff that Daniel hates.
I think the best way of doing it is doing what EA are doing. Funnily enough, I know I hate EA.
Still don't know why.
they have the first run where you get like unlocks early.
Yeah.
They do that for Battlefield. They did that with Bulletstorm. I think that's the way you should do it. Because it's rewarding you for buying the game new day one, and it's not really unbalancing the game because it's just giving you stuff that's already in it early.
Or even if they give you extra stuff, like Gears of War 2 gave you the flashback map pack that other people could buy later.
That's the stuff I was talking about.
Okay, that's what is important for the new game sales. Yes, there's an effect with Project $10. You know, gonna sway some people on the fence to just go for new because then they just get that in the package. But it doesn't matter if you buy a new game at $60 or at $40 or $20. If you buy it new, you have the multiplayer. If you don't buy it new and the developer makes nothing off you buying it used, they can make $10 while they support the used game that you're still playing.
But you say,
and if you,
you
don't want to do it, you don't have to. If you want to just try it out to see, you can do
you
that.
You say they make nothing off the used game sales, but that's assuming that these people don't buy DLC and all the other stuff they try to sell you with these online games.
Right, but that costs even more resources. We're talking about the original game right here. Not everybody buys the DLC and stuff.
And not
you can't just rely on that alone to make up for the use.
And I'm assuming Project Tenaz is something else they can't rely on. I'm assuming it's a problem that the industry is trying to show up and they're, oh, you're hurting the consumer. And they're trying to pad their bottom line.
Are they? They're not hurting the consumer.
Yeah, okay. One, it's an extra step for a new game owner because you have to input those stupid codes. Yes, it's a minor step, but it's still a step that somebody has to go through.
Yeah, but that's just bitching for bitching.
I won't deny that, but it's still, and people do complain about stuff like that because it is an extra step between just putting in the disc and starting up online. It's the same way people complain about having day one patches or having any type of patch that separates them from playing their game.
Well, I mean, that's an unfortunate effect of piracy and all that, you know? I mean,
here's another thing I hate about Project $10, right? Sony and EA and are guilty of this, and I liked, and THQ at least have the gall to own up, right? Sony and EA claim that it adds extra value to the game. It doesn't add any extra value at all. It's just giving you what's on the disc that they've taken away from you, right? THQ at least have the balls to come out and say, we're doing it to slow down new sales or to get money off of them, right? They say that they don't say it adds extra value because it doesn't. It just takes away, if anything.
Okay, well,
because
I
mean, have these stupid things like if the store is down or I have to input this stupid code when I can't be bothered, you know?
And again, and this is from the other point of view, and again, it depends on how you are as a consumer. If they think $10 is what online's worth, why not charge new people $50 to get the game new and pay $10 for online in general?
The worst
because
thing about
it's worth,
the whole
the
system
is usually worth more than $10. That's
yeah, well, that's what, I mean,
so
that's
if you're paying $10 for the, I mean, I have no problem with this system. I mean, as we have discussed many times, there's just, it's not a problem that's gonna go away. The money that they lose to piracy and used game sales, and the fact that they still have to support those games, when they have online modes and stuff, that's just money lost to them. And this is a way for the developers and publishers to recoup some, not all, some of that cost, but anything helps without really damaging the consumers. It doesn't, because if you buy the game new anyway, it's no difference to you. Yeah, okay, it's a little bit annoying to have to put in a code, whatever, but you do it once and you're done.
The worst thing is the publishers at least have all this other stuff.
Okay, well,
at least be honest. It adds value. It fucking doesn't.
I was going to say the other thing, and I don't know. I mean, Sony has already announced this for Resistance, but they said they're going to establish, you know, look at it from their first party titles going forward. It's something like Uncharted, as far as I know, uses peer-to-peer connections. What are you paying for at that point?
I mean, they're still supporting their game. They're still patching the game. They're still working on it all the time. It doesn't matter if there's no dedicated servers. They're still supporting that game. It's not like it'll just go on forever if they just leave it alone. You know, and like to go back to your point to say you don't know how much this is helping. Obviously, it's helping a lot because since EA started it, every single company in the industry is picking this up.
And I'm assuming everybody's doing that because I'm not saying it won't add money to it. I'm just saying that at the end of the day, it doesn't help the consumer. And as a consumer, that's the point of, I get it. I can understand from a business point of view why they're doing this and why it's important. And I mean, it's something that was going to happen with this generation anyhow, is that we leap forward much faster than anybody could afford to pay out. And that's why you ended up with games that jacked up $10 and DLC for everything, and now this Project $10. It's an understandable thing from a business standpoint, is that this AC generation bled everybody dry, and they're trying to recoup it at the end. But it hurts you as a consumer. And again, I buy most of my games new. And if I don't buy, I don't play that many games online, so it's not a huge, you know, deal. I won't even buy Resistance. I can go on the record saying that. It doesn't interest me at all. But it's the principle of this movement that I don't like.
I mean, I still don't understand, like, what your main, like, counter-argument to it is.
My main, like I said,
that it drives down the value of used games? Well, that $10 price is gonna end up being built into used game sales. So you get a used game for cheaper, and if you don't even like playing online, this helps the consumer. That consumer, that specific person. And if you do want to play online, it doesn't really make a difference. Or maybe you should just go buy it online. If you don't want to pay $60, wait a month. You can get it for $40. It's not that hard.
What, Ida? Yes, this is gonna go around in a circle for a while. You're okay with it. I don't like the idea of it. And I realize that, yes, that, like I said, it helps the businesses, it helps the companies. And as a gamer, I guess it technically gives you choices if you buy a game new, especially if you're just buying it for the single player component. You get it cheaper and you don't have to shell out this $10. But at the end of the day, I really don't think it's something that's gonna help the industry as a whole. And we'll see. We'll see how it works out. next on iOS we have, I think you folks talked about this when I was gone, but it's been back and forth and I figured we'd finally touch on it, is the Wii U's online services. Nintendo hasn't really said anything specific about it, but it seems like it's a Wild West show. They're giving third parties pretty much creative control of it. And
sounds like the PS2's online, basically.
Yeah, that's what everybody compared it to. I mean, either that or the PC, where, you know, everybody kind of has their own control over the online services and stuff like this. I honestly don't know what to make of it. I mean, it could work and it can't work.
Didn't they say something about how they're gonna have a more connected experience? And I'm just sitting there going, what? Like Xbox Live and PSN already are.
Yeah, I mean, when they were talking about having a more fully fledged online thing at E3, everyone is automatically assuming that they're gonna have a Xbox Live or PSN equivalent. And I was sitting there being like, honestly, like, I'll believe it when I see it, and now here we are, and they're showing they still have no fucking idea what they're doing with online. They just have no clue.
I think they have an idea. I think they have to realize it's a cost thing. I mean, Microsoft has poured, over $2 billion into Xbox Live. I just assume they don't want to charge people for online, so they're not going to invest in something they can't really get money back out of.
But even if you just take, you know, the basic things about Xbox Live and PlayStation Network. One, unified ID. No friend codes. Voice chat. And a storefront. That's all Nintendo needs. You know, they need a coherent ecosystem. And if they want to let the developers tinker around in that, that's fine. But you can't just be like, okay, everyone, you can just do whatever you want.
To be fair, if Nintendo actually, like, sorted their shit out with the store, because if the eShop is on the 3DS is anything to go by, they need to sort that out as well. They could make a good chunk out of it, but... Because let's put it this way, WiiWare isn't doing too well because we've got all sorts of, like, we've had Super Meat Boy, Team Meat, and Reblank, which are the developers of Retro City Rampage, basically say, yeah, we're not going to release on WiiWare anymore, we're going to SPLA. Simply because Nintendo have got these restrictions on WiiWare that they can't work with. And, you know, if they were just to remove them, and at least let people get somewhere with the shop, then maybe they could make a good chunk out of it, because people would actually buy games that way. I mean, PSN are like, you know, they could sell the games online and not do a PlayStation and sell them for £55, you know, and make good amount of money off of it.
What games are these?
Red Faction Armageddon is on the PlayStation Store right now for £55. Which is more than $60, let's put it that way.
Fair enough. I did not know that. But yeah, I honestly, I mean, like I said, it could work. I mean, if somebody like Valve steps up and becomes like the thing for part of their online services, you know, it has potential. But yeah, it's going to be like EA has their thing, or what is it, Origins? Ubisoft has the U-Pass. Activision has the Call of Duty Elite thing going on. So yeah, if you end up with like 50 different accounts on it, it's just going to be a really it's going to be a bigger headache, I think.
Well, we've already got 50 different accounts because there's one on the Wii and the DSi. There's one on the 3DS. There's a separate one on the 3DS now. And is there going to be a separate one on the Wii U? Because it honestly wouldn't surprise me if Nintendo were to say yeah, and have a different currency for that as well.
Yeah. I honestly don't know what they're doing with the eShop. I mean, because even with the Wii and the DSi, they had the whole Nintendo point system, but the system didn't carry over, so you had to put points on your DSi or put points on your Wii. And the hard thing is, they have it connected to your My Nintendo account, so it's not like they don't have a central account for you to have your Nintendo accounts attached to. It's just that they don't do anything with that on the system side. But like my Nintendo account has all my DSi and WiiWare and Virtual Console purchases on that. I honestly don't know what to expect with that. Next is Burnout Crash, which
God, I was sat there and I wept. Actually, no, I didn't weep. I laughed. Sat there and I laughed, and I was like, "This is just Retro City Rampage without the cool 8-bit graphics and the cool 8-bit music." So I'm not going to buy Retro City Rampage.
I didn't even know you could get out the car.
You can't. Well, you can't get out the car. But so it looks the UI and the look of the game is basically looks like a HD Retro City Rampage, a non 8-bit Retro City Rampage.
I was looking at it and I'm wondering why they just have the Burnout license on it. It's being
developed by Criterion as well, which makes it even.
Is it really? That is sad.
Yeah.
Wow, that is awful. I did not know that.
I don't know anyone who likes the look of this game.
It's also Kinect enabled, right? Or is it Kinect only?
Yes, it's Kinect enabled.
Okay. So that makes it a huge... But yeah, the game looks awful. And it's the point of it just to like run into other cars.
I couldn't even tell from the video, to be fair.
Like the video looked like you were just at a tiny intersection and like certain cars would pass by for bonus points. But other than that, you'll get like a little meter and you could blow up at random intervals if you wanted to. So yeah, this is for Xbox Live and PSN or just Xbox Live at this point?
It says Xbox Live, PSN, and Kinect on the thing, so... Oh my, Criterion, what are you doing? Why? Who sat there and thought, you know, we're going to make an isometric, arcade style pinball sort of game with the Burnout?
It's because they want to do, like, they're trying to figure out what's new with the Burnout license, I think. Because we've already seen Criterion go and work on Need for Speed. And honestly, an arcade-y Need for Speed and Burnout, like, how different are they really? They're under the same umbrella in terms of they're both EA properties. And I think they're just trying to figure out what to do with the license. And this
I can understand that they want to do like a downloadable title because they've been doing retail titles, right?
No, I agree with you guys.
Bizarre Creations had the right idea in the sense that they pulled a mini game out of Project Gotham 3, I think it was, and they sold it as an XBLA title. That was a really good idea. They didn't associate it with the Project Gotham name at all, and they just sold it as it was. That was a brilliant idea.
You see, that's the other thing, is that they could have taken any of the multiple modes from Burnout Paradise, Crash Mode, Marked Man, Stunt Mode, anything, and just kind of make it like its own game. Like, when I heard Burnout Crash, I thought it was going to be like, is it Burnout Revenge, where you kind of, you just kind of drive around the town, and you, like, near misses and stuff like that to rack up points. I thought it was going to be something like that. When I saw this video, it was nothing like what I expected Burnout Crash to be.
Well, let's put it this way, right? It's not a game that you would look at and go, that is a Burnout game.
Not at all. In fact, I saw the headline on some website and saw one screenshot and I was like, what the hell is this? Pass.
Yeah, I mean, it's, who knows, maybe it surprises us all, but it doesn't look like it from the gameplay.
EA, what are you doing? Honestly. Well, Who greenlit this? I would kill them. I mean, I haven't bought a Burnout game in a good while. I think the last one I bought was Burnout 2. But
you haven't played Paradise? I thought you had Paradise.
I have Paradise, but I didn't technically buy it, and I don't like the open worldness of it.
Really? It's the best part of the game for me.
No, I don't like it. I like the Burnout formula, but this is not a Burnout game. Take Burnout out of the name, it's not a Burnout game.
I think that's part of it.
If they want to run with it, then fine. Just call it Crash or something. But don't put Burnout as a main title. At least, like, if Bungie are gonna, like, Bungie, when they spun off Halo, they at least made it a Halo game.
Halo Wars.
ODST.
I suppose you could get
ODST. I don't count ODST as a spinoff.
You should. It has a 3 in the title, as in it's a spinoff from Halo 3.
But see, I don't count it as a spinoff. I count it as like a side story, kind of like.
Well,
that's
why I count it as a spinoff.
But, see, to me, like a spinoff would be like if they had an Arbiter game or something like that.
Well, Halo Wars. Then you could tell it was a Halo game by the art style, at least. You know,
yeah.
The gameplay may not have been Halo, but the art style was Halo, and the dialogue was Halo, and everything about it was
everything
Halo.
Everything was Halo, yeah.
You know, and Assemble Studios did a really good job making that a Halo game, whereas Burnout Crash is just not a Burnout game.
Well, it has cars, and they crash into each other, so two things.
Does that mean destruction? Does that mean that Burnout is a destruction derby game?
That's what they think for a downloadable title.
I mean, Burnout is a crash focus.
That's what I say. There are a lot of things that are, like, Marked Man and Crash, and a lot of things in Burnout are that run into other cars and stuff like that, but...
Yeah, to me, Burnout is about crashing.
Or it's
how can you have the awesome cameras in Crash? You can't.
No, I'm not saying... No, I agree with you that this game is some weird, retarded stepchild of Burnout, but, like, the Burnout is about crashing.
Yeah, I think Burnout's about driving recklessly and almost killing yourself in a car each and every time. Yes, we also got word this week that Castlevania Harmony of Dissonance, that's what it's called, Despair. It's coming to PSN, along with Imbo. So apparently, PSN Summer of Arcade is just Xbox Live stuff from a year ago.
I mean,
you get one good game and one not so great game.
I want to know which is which.
I know which one's which, and I disagree with that too.
I don't think Castlevania is that special.
Well, okay, one not good game and one decent game.
And we know your thoughts on Imbo from
one
last week.
One not very good game and one Castlevania game. There we go. How about that?
Yeah, I was gonna say you don't have to hide it. You had your thoughts on Imbo last week, and yeah, that's. I haven't really been paying attention because. Doesn't make any sense for me to
I've
get
been able to play this for ages.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's a game. So is the Castlevania HD, does it have the stuff from the Xbox Live version, like DLC and characters?
I'm assuming it does. If this is Capcom, so I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't bundle.
Wait, you mean Konami?
Oh, I'm stupid. I should shut up. Konami's normally good about those things, so I think they should be bundled.
Well, actually, Konami's been really weird this generation. Like, I still don't get why the Silent Hill HD collection is only on PSN and not on Xbox 360. And I could be mistaken, it's probably just a rumor, but I heard that the Metal Gear Solid...
No, it's always on 360.
No, but I heard it was exclusive for the PS3 for this year.
Silent Hill, or isn't it... Oh, wait, no, never mind. I'm thinking of a different game. Keep going.
So, yeah, I don't get that decision. I've actually not found the decisions to have most of these HD collections PSN exclusive. I mean,
that's because PlayStation people are the people that buy into them.
But, I mean, it really makes no sense to... I still don't believe in third-party exclusives anymore. It really doesn't make any sense if the Microsoft, Nintendo, or Sony aren't tripping your bills. And it's even less sense when there's really not much work involved in these games if you're just kind of porting them up and putting them on a disc together. Especially if the games that were mostly on the PS2 sell them to a new audience now on the 360.
Yeah. There's an article coming up on the website about that.
Yes,
soon.
But for you PS3 owners, look forward to Castlevania and Limbo. You can get a preview of next year.
We'll just
year.
Get all these awesome new games that you won't get, like Retro City Rampage.
Yeah, next year you'll get that and Bastion.
You can look forward to this next year.
Twisted Shadow Planet.
Fruit Ninja Connect. Actually, Fruit Ninja
Move.
That actually would be pretty.
You know what? I'd buy a move for Fruit Ninja.
If I get Kinect, I'm getting Fruit Ninja Kinect.
Fruit Ninja is an awesome game, but it also helps when you get it for free on your phone. So, and speaking of phone games, it looks like Nintendo's entering the mobile market with a Pokemon card game.
It makes complete sense now. They were pulling the Pokedex style apps from the Android marketplace for weeks. So it makes sense. It now makes sense as to why Nintendo did this, because if they're releasing an iPhone app and Android app, but it doesn't make sense because Nintendo have been highly critical of app games as of late.
I think they've been highly critical of the app mindshare, that everybody's kind of pulling their resources to make games for that, and when you have thousands of games, it's really hard to stand out of the pack. And I think that that they are kind of.
I think Nintendo are just mad because they can't just sell a shit ton of games on the phone like they can on the Wii. But they can because it's Nintendo. They can sell a shit ton of games anywhere.
I was also gonna say that is it Nintendo? It's the Pokemon. I didn't realize that Nintendo owns a third of them. I assumed they were a Nintendo company altogether, but I
guess... Game Freak are a Nintendo company, and so are Creatures.
But the Pokemon company isn't.
The Pokemon company is as well.
Well, no, because I was...
It's just a company that they formed to specifically handle all things Pokemon.
Yeah, but I think it's a joint endeavor between them and Game Freaks and all these other people.
But Game Freak and that are owned by Nintendo, as far as I'm aware.
Are they owned? They own stock in a bunch of, they own part of Hudson. I think that was like 17%. And Microsoft, they own, I think, 87% or something like that. So it could be that they own it, but they don't own, I was reading this on, not the Strux toy, Joystick? No, in Gadget. And they were saying that Nintendo only owns 30% of it.
They still own the IP, so.
Oh yeah, that's the important thing. This sounds like it was a decision by them to kind of it's not a proper Pokemon game. It's just like, oh, we can, expand the Pokemon brand by putting it out on mobile.
Yeah, and you wouldn't see a full-fledged Pokemon game on mobile.
You won't see Pokemon, and you won't see like a Mario exclusive to the Android anytime
soon. And that's actually a good thing, though. Because it means that they can concentrate on making proper Pokemon games and proper Mario games for proper handhelds.
I was going to go into a handheld rant, but I've got a new game on my mobile device, and I honestly, it has a dual analog control, and I honestly hate it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is people don't seem to realize that those sorts of things don't work. I mean, yes, people buy them, but they don't work. The iPhone and the iPod and Android phones are not gaming devices by any means. Somebody said to me, that's like saying that the iPhone is the best-selling handheld device is like saying Windows is the world's best-selling clock.
I think there are games that work for it, and again...
Yeah, but there are only games like Cut the Rope and Angry Birds, really.
Which...
Infinity Blade.
Battlefield Bad Company 2 on the iPhone makes absolutely...
Oh, no, but yeah, that's garbage.
But I mean, granted, it's the same thing with any system. It's that you play to its strengths. And yes, the Android kind of, Android, iPhone, mobile devices play to them more, puzzly, simple games where you just, you touch one or two things, but nothing complex where you need a bunch of buttons and triggers.
The thing is, Nintendo know this because I think the Pokemon game is some sort of card game.
Yeah, it's a card game.
Yeah, and I wouldn't really play that on a phone because you just tap a few cards and then tap a button to play them,
I would also say the notorious side is Nintendo is probably trying to reinvigorate the Pokemon card game market, because that was huge in the late 90s. And if you can kind of get it on the mobile scene, you can have kids buying those packs again, and it's another source of revenue for them.
If they make a proper Pokemon trading card game video game, I would buy that. I played the first one and loved the first one on the Game Boy Color. I will buy another one like that. I will buy a 3DS one. Mark my words.
It's things Nintendo do. Like, they'll make a bunch of those mystery dungeon games and like Pokemon Ranger, but they won't ever. Like, there's a Pokemon online trading card game.
I've played it. I have too much fun playing that. I admit, I hold my hands up and admit that I play that game and I like it.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people actually enjoy it, and you would think like a company as big as you know, well resourced as they are, would be interested in like expanding that to like the handheld, making it a handheld game, or charging for it on the browser or whatever.
Well, like I said, it was a handheld game on the Game Boy Color, and I loved it. They made a second one in Japan.
In classic
Nintendo fashion, they didn't localize it. But
as I say, we won't talk about games Nintendo used in Japan this week.
So you can bash Sony, but not Nintendo?
Oh, we bashed about Project Rainfall last week. I mean, nothing's really changed since then. I mean, if you want to talk about it, you could go ahead.
No, that's okay.
I mean, like I said, I think it's stupid. I honestly feel that any company that has people begging them to give them money and doesn't do anything about it needs help. Because at the end of the day, I don't care if it's 10,000 or 100,000 people. You got people who are willing to buy your product. You put it out for them. And nothing's really changed in that sense since the week. The only update is now it's rumored that Nintendo of America has been testing it, and they've just been holding out on an announcement, which I think would be...
I call bullshit on that. That's totally unlike Nintendo.
Well, I'm about to say, I don't think it's unlike Nintendo to keep things close to their chest. I mean, I'm sure everybody usually talks about the famous example.
It's unlike Nintendo of America to do something like that, actually release the thing and...
I was going to say, like, one of the famous examples is, I think, when Reggie was saying there was no new DS model in the works, and the next day, less than 24 hours later, Iwata announced, like, the DSi, or the DSi. So, you know, it's been...
Oh, well, if it's something that Reggie says and there's something Iwata says, we've all known to just disregard what Reggie says, because Reggie never corroborates anything Iwata says, ever.
What?
And this is the Wii is so revolutionary. We brought this game, this system to so many new markets. But that's just a classic Nintendo fiddle.
Well, I was going to say that they're a company, and that's one of their biggest problems, is that they're a company that creates things way too close to their chest. And it works for them sometimes. I mean, it's one of the reasons why people look forward to their E3 shows every year, is because you never know what to expect from them. But, you know, like, we've had the Wii U, we had Zelda and all this other stuff at E3, and they haven't said anything since in a month. Yes, there's been a ton of interviews, but it's really just been recycling the same stuff in new words. So there's that. And the final piece of news, I don't think the rest of you are interested in it, but I just found out about it before we started this, and I wanted to, you know.
I was all excited.
No, I'm not excited. It's the complete opposite.
Oh, really?
The WWE Brawl, it looks awful. I mean, again, granted, it's a terrible trailer, terrible quality trailer, but it looks like the off child of WWE All-Stars and WrestleMania Arcade game, which was from, like, the mid-90s. And I have no problem with... being creative with the wrestling license, but when they need to get the core simulator down before they start making all these arcade and beat 'em ups and fighters. And I've just never really been a fan of the SmackDown versus series, or WWE 12 now. And the fact that they're coming out with a third SKU before they even work on the first one, or, you know, see how successful the second one is, just speaks to how creatively bankrupt THQ is at the moment, at least to me.
But the WWE series, come on. Don't generalize here. They're only publishing the greatest game that will ever be released on this planet of all time, which is Saints Row 3.
I have to say, Homefront already came out.
No, it's actually going to be a good game, not Homefront.
Well, very Homefront was good enough that they're making a sequel just without the studio that made the original.
Don't get me started on that.
So it is that. Is there anything else you folks want to add before we wrap this?
Not really.
Next week, we're going to do a podcast. And then the week after that, we're going to do another podcast. And then 2 days after that, Catherine comes out.
I was wondering where he was going with that. Why didn't you just say two weeks?
Catherine? He was building up the suspense.
So it seems. Oh, speaking of...
16 days.
Speaking of suspense and really stupid things, part two of the bonus round is up, and this week is Arkham City versus Assassin's Creed Revelations. So
Are going to be games that are not as good as Catherine.
I'm kind of curious how they compare them and who wins.
I don't know, like, why? Why?
I, I honestly think they just ran out of things to talk about.
So I mean, really, apparently, yeah, because
that was really a bad time for game.
Really just pointless, stupid.
I got Battlefield and Modern Warfare. Batman.
I mean,
and
that makes sense when the executives saying they're going against each other. But these are, I mean, their game styles are
similar,
sort of remotely similar, but like other than that, they're completely different games. Like,
yeah, I'm kind of curious about Skyrim and Dark Souls. That one doesn't.
Why?
Really
Why?
What? That makes no sense.
It doesn't. But they're both. I guess they're both technically RPGs.
Yeah, but Dark Souls is a JRPG, is it not?
Well, it's a different type of JRPG. If it's anything like.
Well, even then, it's like it's a JRPG MRPG. That's not hardcore. I say not hardcore, I mean it is hardcore. It's a hardcore RPG in the sense that it's designed to be incredibly hard. Whereas Skyrim's not. I say conventional WRPG, I don't know how any way to describe without saying without that sounding derogatory.
But they needed something to talk about, and I guess, you know, they threw their water in the E3 show. So, the other thing I don't get is, like, this, like, they talk about this, and this is how the Battlefield and Modern Warfare 3 one ended, is, like, we'll wait until the both games are out to compare, and I'm like, thank you, why are you talking about this 4 months before this comes out? You can't compare, oh, like, this looks pretty, and, you know, this has potential, but, yeah, you can't, it would be stupid for any journalist to say Modern Warfare 3 is going to be better than Battlefield, because then that causes how people view your reviews when they come out in October and November.
As far as I'm concerned, when it comes down to those two comparisons, one is an engine, because that's all they talk about, and one is a game.
I'm assuming you mean Frostbite, and
yes.
We could talk about this off-air. So for Chad, Jason, Daniel, myself, and Project 10 Liars, this has been Dual World in Episode 38.
I'll feed this screen.
It all and not forget the lessons that I hold. I wanna go where no one's been, far beyond the crowd. Hey, learn the way to take command.
Use the power that's in my hand.
We all live in a Pokemon world. With every challenge, I will gain knowledge to be shared. Hey, in my heart, there's no doubt of who I want to be. I'm right here, standing strong.
The greatest master of Pokemon.
We all live in a Pokemon world. We all live in a Pokemon world.